Our first reading this morning comes from the Hebrew Bible. The reading is actually the first 18 verses of the 16th chapter of Exodus. But I'm going to read for you just the first verse this morning right now, and then I'll tell you the rest of the story in just a few minutes. This is Exodus 16:1. It's found on page 112 in your Bible. The setting for this, by the way, is Israel in the wilderness. This is just like 6 weeks after they come out of Egypt. And they find themselves in a place where they are going to be hungry and thirsty if something doesn't come to them. The whole congregation of the Israelites set out from Elim and came to the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai. And by the way, the wilderness of Sin, that the word Sin there is not what we think Sin is usually. It's just a place name. It's like Sinai or Jerusalem. Sin was a place. They came to the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after they had departed from the land of Egypt. And we'll go on from there in just a moment. Our second reading is, as I read earlier, from the 6th chapter of John's Gospel. And it follows very shortly after the story of Jesus stretching a small boy's lunch, 5 little barley loaves and 2 fish, into a satisfying meal for more than 5,000 people, turning an almost nothing into a gift of unimaginable abundance. And here what I'm reading today is verses 43 to 51 of John chapter 6. Jesus encourages his listeners here to broaden out their focus beyond their physical stomachs and to imagine a more satisfying, longer lasting meal. Now, we have to listen carefully here because, as is very typical in the Gospel of John, John is piling on metaphors, one after the other here. Metaphors and symbols stacked on top of each other. So don't spend time trying to figure out how what he says can be literally true, but try to imagine how what he says might transform your quite literal life. So John 6, verses 43 to 51 is on page 1657 of the Bible if you want to read along. "Stop grumbling among yourselves," Jesus said. Somebody had been grumbling, of course. "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them, and I will raise them up at the last day." Now, the Greek word here, you might want to know, translated as draws, unless God draws them, that actually carries a stronger, a more physical sense to it. It can be translated as drag, which is to say, no one can come to me unless the Father drags them. It's a much more vivid image, don't you think? "It is written in the prophets," Jesus said, "they will all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard the Father and learned from him comes to me. No one has seen the Father except the one who is from God. Only he has seen the Father. Very truly I tell you, the one who believes has," that's present tense, you've got to catch that, "has right now eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which anyone may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I give for the life of the world." This ends our readings for this morning. God is speaking to us through these words, and as always, when God speaks, the words are true, and we can trust them. Would you pray with me, please? May the words that I speak and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So, when today's story from the Old Testament begins, the Israelites are 6 weeks out of Egypt, with 40 years to go before they reach the Promised Land. They don't know about that 40 years part yet. They'll learn that in a little while. But 6 weeks out, they find themselves in a most unpleasant spot. The wilderness of sin where they are camping out is a dry and barren place. They have no food, they have no water, and their ancestors, who for the past 430 years have lived under hard labor as slaves in Egypt, because of that, these folks in the wilderness haven't the slightest idea how to manage their own lives. That has always been managed for them. And what's even worse, they weren't yet able to imagine that the God who dismantled Pharaoh's kingdom could turn the desert and their lives into a place of abundance. The Israelites said to Moses and Aaron, "If only we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the pots of meat and ate our fill of bread, for you have brought us into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." 6 weeks earlier, when Egypt was in ruins and their army lost beneath the Red Sea, the Israelites were riding pretty high. But now, they're hungry and they're thirsty. And to be honest, they are understandably anxious and worried. So, as will often happen in this 40-year-long journey, God hears their cry and God acts. The Lord said to Moses, "I am going to rain bread from heaven for you, and each day the people shall go out and gather enough for that day." And in the morning, the people wake up and leave their tents and find the ground covered with this white, flaky substance. They don't know what it is. And so they exclaim kind of all together, they say manna, which when you translate that into English, it is, "What is this?" They wake up, they find this stuff, and they say, "Well, what in the world is this?" But once they taste it, and taste its sweetness, I imagine. Though, you know, there's a story, the ancient rabbis used to say that the manna changed flavor from day to day, so that nobody got bored with the taste. That was a good story. Well, so they taste it, and they know it's good, and they get right to work gathering enough for the day. And enough is an interesting concept, isn't it? Here it means enough so your family and you won't go hungry on this day. It does not mean enough so that you can store some up for the next day and maybe sleep in, and not go out and gather your food on that day. It does not mean enough so that you can store up some until morning and maybe hoard it and then start a bread store of your own so you can sell some and make some money. Enough, according to the story, is enough for that day. But of course, you know, some people don't listen. They do gather more than enough, more than they need for that day. In the evening, they carefully store the excess in the coolest corner of their tents, and in the morning, it's crawling with slimy worms and is good for nothing. Enough is enough, and never more than you need. Now, Jesus taught us to pray, "Give us this day our daily bread," which of course is about a lot more than just having toast with your eggs in the morning. Praying for our daily bread means leaving tomorrow to the generosity of God. It is the beginning of trust. Praying for your daily bread is a beginning of trust that God will be with you this day and on. The beginning of the trust that your Creator will provide what you need for today, yeah. But even more importantly, trusting that your God will be present to you tomorrow too, and the day after that, and the day after that, and every day after that. Here in this dry and barren wilderness of sin, these wandering former slaves are being offered the same gift, the same promise. Manna will fall every day. Every day they will have enough, and their redeeming God, the one who frees the slaves and rescues the oppressed and feeds the hungry, will be with them, will walk with them every minute of every day through whatever trouble lies ahead. Every day, this divine presence will be enough. This isn't an easy lesson to learn. Not for us, certainly not for these recently freed slaves. They aren't facing a pleasant little walk through the park, you know. Ahead of them is a 40-year-long slog through a dangerous and hostile territory. A journey so terrifying that they quickly start thinking that maybe slavery in Egypt wasn't so bad after all. Imagine how deep your despair would be if you would even consider returning to the land of the enemy, to returning to the land of slavery. Don't be hasty, this redeeming God says. Don't go back. Come, walk with me, trust me. You know, we aren't promised a peaceful, easy journey either. Each of us, everyone here, has experienced enough of life to know that that's not the way it goes. And we aren't even promised, I don't think anyway, enough bread to fill our stomachs every day. There are too many oppressed and starving children in the world to really believe that now. What we are promised, what the world has received along with us, is what Jesus called the living bread that comes down from heaven. The bread, he said, that satisfies our deepest soul hunger, that feeds us here and now, giving life, the life of the ages, as Jesus said. Even now, for us as we wander through our current wilderness and the darkness we see all around us today. Not just to us, though, to the whole world. Almost 40 years ago, the United Church of Canada offered up a new statement of belief that they had written that I think both summarizes and expands on the story we've been looking at this morning. And it goes like this. It's been one of my favorite for years now. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to live with respect in creation, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus crucified and risen, our judge and our hope. In life, in death, in life beyond death, God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen.